Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 International Film Festival in Macau, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker, producer, Paul Curry. Thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to be here. Nice to talk.
Yeah, and you're here actually as a member of the jury for the competition. You know, what's the experience been like so far? We're close to the end.
Yeah, it's been really surprising. What's been exciting about the festival is its focus on first and second time directors, which I didn't know it had that much of a focus when I first got involved. And just seeing some of the emerging talent in the world of filmmaking, because we're seeing really diverse, there's films from different countries, has been great. There's a really, really healthy spirit of fantastic new voices out there, and it's just great to check it out.
Yeah. What about Macau? What do you think of Macau?
I love it. It's an amazing visual place. I'd love to shoot a movie here. It'd be like you could do an amazing thriller or science fiction futuristic kind of place. But it's good to see the old Macau and the new Macau, and really been great, the community that's here, the filmmaking community that's supporting the festival is really good, really friendly, warm and inviting.
Yeah, I mean, they were telling me that one of the key objectives of this festival is actually to develop an audience, which is really interesting to me, because while maybe in other parts of the world people are talking about why do you need a film festival when you can just stream films, here there's a really desire and to really use festivals as a means to develop an audience for cinema. What do you think of that?
I love that. I mean, I think what's really good about this festival, it's developing an audience for new emerging filmmakers too, which is really important, because it's harder and harder in the world with the split between, you know, large studio pictures and, you know, the independent world. And that's where China's fascinating, because it comes into play because it's such a big market. And there's kind of a real independent spirit in China. So I feel like this festival is part of the emerging developing market that's happening, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, this focus on the first time, maybe the filmmakers on the second movie, kind of inspires me to ask you about your experience, your own experience of making maybe your first movie. I mean, why did you even decide to make films in the first place?
That's a really good question. I guess I always, I came from a world of theatre, yeah. So performance was something that I always was interested in, and I think, you know, I also used to train actors and do that kind of thing, so film was always like that next dimension of trying to express and tell a story to as many people as you could. So my first film was obviously called One Perfect Day. It was a movie that explored the dance culture, the dance music culture, and it was a very ambitious movie, and I didn't have anywhere near enough money to make what I wanted to try to make, and I learnt a lot, and I think, you know, the film was a kind of a raw, courageous exploration that probably failed, but failed in a reasonable way. I think every filmmaker feels like they fail with a movie. So, but I did the best I could with the resources I had at the time.
Right. You felt like the film had failed, or did you feel like you had failed?
I felt like I had failed. You know, I felt like I'd never achieved what the vision I had in my head. It was limited by the things I knew, the things I had access to. And I guess that becomes the process. You're always trying to explore something new that you've never done before. And I think as a filmmaker, I don't think you're ever satisfied. I've never really been satisfied with anything I've ever done.
Do you think that's a positive, that you're never satisfied? I mean, for instance, in sports, they say that if you're not satisfied, then you just have that drive to keep trying to win. But in films, it's a little different, isn't it?
Different, yeah. I think it keeps you... I think you've got to remain hungry and keen and humble as a filmmaker. I think you've always got to be open to learning. And, I mean, part of why I like to direct and produce is because I like to learning from other directors as well. So I think you've got to work your way out of how you do this business and how you tackle the industry. And for me, I never like to really rest on my laurels. I like to keep going and keep exploring new areas. And that's why China is really interesting to me.
Are you interested in actually working here, maybe?
A bit of both. Working here and
collaborating
and also allowing Chinese filmmakers to tell their stories in international locations and to bring some of the Western filmmaking influences and combine them with the Eastern and Chinese filmmaking way and trying to create a new hybrid almost. I think a new genre or series of genres will emerge as you know, China and West kind of collaborate more and more.
What do you think are the challenges that sort of generally prevent that from happening, this melding of sort of or blending of cultures? You know, we talked about Western cinema and Chinese cinema in particular. I mean, what are the challenges there in play?
Obviously, Chinese cinema is so different. Language is the biggest barrier, of course. But you know, it's interesting, like a movie like Dying to Survive, which did huge business at the Chinese box office and had a lot of influence from, I think, Western movies as well. To me, a movie like that could travel. It may not be a huge smash hit throughout the world, but it's a beautifully told, entertaining story that I think, you know, a lot of Western audience could really tap into. So to me, I think, you know, if you get a universal, thematically driven story that has a great hero's journey tale, sometimes, you know, they can travel around the world. Now, obviously, language makes it more difficult, but, you know, look at Crazy Rich Asians. I mean, that's a case in point that, you know, there's still, I mean, that movie traveled the world. Ironically, did better in the West than it did in China. But, you know, there are new, I think, new exciting projects that are emerging and more opportunities. And I think everyone's trying to find how it all works and it's good to explore it.
Yeah. Do you watch Chinese cinema yourself?
Yeah, I do. I've over the years, I've watched quite a bit, and I'm enjoying watching some of the new Chinese cinema that's kind of emerging. Uh-huh. And I like to watch movies from all around the world, different voices, and when you can, it gets hard to always do it when you're really busy.
So let's just say about Chinese cinema, what could, let's say, a Western filmmaker learn from it? Is there anything that is particularly inspiring about it, you think?
Oh, there's a lot. Just the great history of storytelling and the mythology of China and, their ability to do fantasy and action and even performance naturalism. Some of the Chinese filmmakers are extraordinary, you know. And I think that there's also ways to learn. I learned a lot when working with Jackie Chan about the Hong Kong way of shooting a movie. They don't, in the West, we shoot in one direction and we light everything and we complete all setups in that direction. Whereas in a Hong Kong movie, you know, they might be shooting in a direction, but the stunt performer has to come in. Therefore, they have to flip it because the action overrides the actual, the lighting direction. So there's many things to learn about how both kind of filmmaking technicians and storytelling ideas kind of work. And I think it's just healthy to experience something that you don't know and see it from a different perspective and to listen what a filmmaker is trying to do or what the vision of a story is. And I like to say, okay, how can I help them try to execute that? Or, you know, what would be my take on that story?
So. See, I always like to kind of, discuss cinema in my interviews. I'm not so, I mean, I'm interested in the present, but I'm also interested in the more general kind of the art of cinema. So you mentioned something that's really interesting to me, the vision. And that's one of the things that I keep going back to, I guess because I'm a fan of Truffaut and the auteur theory. Is it difficult to kind of keep that vision, like, you know, to actually realize that vision in cinema?
It's very hard. Realizing a vision for a director is a very hard thing, because you are always making a movie is a series of compromises. And it starts when you write the script, and it continues the whole way along. And I think directors have to try to, I won't say fight, but they have to try to hold the vision as much as they can and try to convey that vision to as many different departments that become your conduit for that vision. And often those departments, something can go wrong in the communication and that vision gets affected. And so it's a really challenging thing with politics, with finance, with distribution, with marketing. There are so many variables that come into play on a film. And so to try to be the holder of that vision, the great directors do it. And, you know, I wouldn't class myself as a great director, but the really amazing directors just have an ability to hold that vision as authentically as possible. And I think that's a great thing to see.
As a producer then, when you're producing another director's film, when you see that the vision is sort of getting lost, do you see that in the director maybe trying to, and is it hard to kind of control that the thing that gets in the way of the vision? Because sometimes the vision could get lost, right?
It can. You'll see that the really talented directors, they maintain their vision, but some that are less experienced or maybe not as clear, they lose their way. And that's where, as a producer, I try to find what that director is looking for and help them achieve that. Because as a director, I kind of know sometimes you don't always have it perfect. You know, you're discovering along the way. And I think to tap into a director as a producer, that's one of the things I really like to do, is say, what is it that they're trying to do and how can I help galvanize the team to let them achieve it?
Do you find it difficult to watch your own films?
Oh, I hate watching my own films. I hate it. Once they're finished, you've seen them so many times, and I never watch them again. So, yeah.
You're on to the next one maybe as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
After you finish one, on to the next one.
Trying to line up the next. Not always directly onto it, but trying. You know.
Thank you very much for chatting with me. It was a great pleasure.
Oh, great. Good to meet you.
Thank you very much. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.